Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Christine Suter is the founder and president of Why Not Devin Foundation, which has a mission to end DIPG and support families that are currently dealing with DIPG. She is a divorced working mama of four boys, a podcaster, a seven-time marathon runner, and is passionate about being a lover of second life after experiencing the life-altering loss of her son, Devin, at the age of six to DIPG. She is sunshine. She is the ultimate inspiration. She is our friend. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you so much.
We love Christine. I've loved Christine for a long time now.
Beautiful human.
I don't even know the timeline. That's
wild. It's actually weird. I don't even think I worked there and like, or maybe it was like in between college or something. And I met Christine because of you.
Yeah. You entered my life at the era of like when beauty parlor was like coming to an end and parlor was coming into existence.
Yes.
It's funny. Like you're like straight up OG, like in our life and career and just all of this.
Yeah. You were like doing makeup on the side and you had beauty parlor, but you were still doing makeup.
Yeah. People don't even, I don't even think people that listen to this podcast even know that I was a makeup artist.
Fun times, huh?
Honestly. Yeah. That's actually funny you bring that up.
I was her assistant. She would take me and I would have to clean her brushes on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Literally with the.
On the side of the road.
I was a hustler.
Wherever we were, it didn't matter.
But it's funny what makeup brought me to. It connected so many amazing people in my life and like that's how we met. We'll talk about that. But I just want to kind of get right into, there's a lot to talk about today because you are just like a absolute inspiration in every area of your life. And we also haven't caught up in too long.
Way too long.
So God knows where this is going. But I just, I want you to start by like going off on your story because it's long. There's a lot of facets of it. It's a winding road. It's still happening.
Yeah.
The story is still,
the story just never ends.
We're still alive and thriving. So I want to just, you know, go off, Christine.
All right.
Tell us your story.
Should I start in 2017 or?
Yeah. Let's start with like, Devin. Your life, I would like to know a little bit about your life before diagnosis.
Okay.
And then if you could go into the diagnosis and Devin and like all of that would be wonderful, please.
All right. So I'm going to just start by saying, just like you guys have this great relationship with your mom, I was so close with my mom. She was the person who taught me a lot of what I am and have inside of my soul. And she passed away when I was 30. My oldest son, Colin, was 9 months old. She passed away on October 27th, 2005. And like I said, Colin was 9 months old. It was awful and brutal. And I thought the most devastating thing I could ever experience in my life. But I had Colin and he was my focus. And after Colin, then I had Owen and then I had Brendan and then I had Devin in 5.5 years. I had all four of them.
Four boys. Wow.
Boys is absolutely four boys.
In 5
insane.
Years.
Yeah.
That's like, you're like really mentally ill. Like
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I would have had more too. I would have.
And understood.
I
had,
you're like my mom. Yeah. She literally could have had 100.
Yes. And I had C-sections too. All of them. Woo-hoo, and they were like, you can have 10 more.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I would have had to have a good marriage. So, we'll keep going.
the odds of all boys is like genuinely insane though. Well, it's crazy.
And so Devin, my fourth, I was pregnant and due on October 27th, 2010. So my mom's 5-year angelversary. I didn't find out with any of them what they were going to be. And everyone thought the fourth pregnancy was a girl. Everyone's like, it has to be.
You didn't know the gender?
No, I didn't find out with any of them. I think it's like the best surprise. I love surprises.
You're one of those.
I am. Yeah. Annoying,
you.
Right?
Yeah, I know. I literally hate you.
I know. We don't see eye to eye. I know. Just like, I need to plan the nursery.
I know.
Like, I need outfits. Like, it's just not going
to
be.
You just have to plan shit.
Yeah, you have to plan. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Oh, Devin exactly. Just like, his diaper was socks. Just like socks from a previous
thing. No, because by the time you get to the third boy, nothing is intact anymore.
Oh, understood.
It's shredded, dirty.
It's funny you say that. I'm entering scene into that right now. I'm like, oh, if I have another girl, when I have another girl, like I'm going to have, I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah.
They're all destroyed.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And boys are
disgusting.
Gross. Yeah. They're gross.
It's naughty.
So everyone thought I was having a girl and, I went and I was like, there's no way it's a girl. It's a boy. I'm pretty consistent. Like odds are. And I delivered Devin on October 27th, 2010. And my brother who is 3 years younger than me, super close with my mom, was at the hospital. He had been in Italy and California and everywhere else for other births of my children. And he was there for Devin, the first one. And he saw this woman walk by in scrubs, and she looked exactly like my mother. And my brother, like, sat up, went to look at her, and she got into the elevator and went up to the delivery floor at Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Whoa.
Where I was. And
on the day of her mom's birthday.
Wow.
Well, the day she died and the day I was delivering.
Wait, I thought that Devin, was her birthday.
Her angelversary, the day she died. Oh, her
angelversary. Got mm-hmm. it.
And so I walked in right after her. My brother was like, you know, he's this gigantic dude, and he was like dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. He was super emotional to be there for the birth anyway. And then Devin came, and he was a boy, and he was this 9-pound, 3-ounce, 1 week early, huge, happy boy. And we brought him home, and he was wonderful, and he was definitely the most charismatic, had to keep up with the other boys. He was in the lacrosse net at like 3 years old while his brothers ripped shots off him. He was just all four of them. We did.
He was special.
He really was. And I did everything with all four of them. We went to the grocery store. Trader Joe's knew us well because we would be in there. They'd have walkie-talkies trying to find the lobster that they used to hide in there. And so January 2017, I always had them skiing and snowboarding. And Friday nights, there was a couple of us that went to Ward Hill. We got everyone out in the mountain, and my friends and I would have a glass of wine while all the kids skied.
She's a social girly.
Yeah, I like being social. Yeah. And I like my wine, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, understood. I like wine too.
Are you red or white?
Oh, I don't discriminate.
I like it all. Yeah. I don't like rosé.
I like rosé in a hot summer day.
You're funny.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
She's chic.
I would drink it all. I mean, I don't know what's chic. It's more what's around.
Rosé gives me heartburn. I'm like, I'm like an agita grandma. Like, just don't. Yeah.
Just take some Tums. You'll be good.
Yeah. I have Pepcid.
Or that.
Yeah.
Either one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do love wine, though. I'm with you. Yeah. Carrying on.
Yeah. I like wine. So we'd have that. And then Devin was a snowboarder at 6 years old, and he was too young for like the group lesson. So he had a private lesson. And he fell, and the woman came in and was like, you know, he fell. I think he hit his head. Like, maybe just have him sit out for the rest of the day. So I was like, fine, the rest of the night. So I took him to get a burger, and he, like, fell. So, but he was so goofy and silly that it was, like, not really alarming. And then he went to pay for his burger and fell. And I was like, okay, maybe he's just, like, he's six. He's wild and crazy and whatever. So then he sat at a table, and one of my dear friends, who's not an alarmist at all, was like, his eyes don't look right. And when I tell you, my kids are so active, athletic, they're in everything. We've had concussions from sledding down a table in my backyard.
Yeah. You're like, there's concussions.
Yes. I'm like, they're scary, but like, we've had them.
I've been there, like, when you think there's a concussion, then you're like, hospital? No hospital. Hospital? No hospital. You're like, I don't know, because you don't want to go through it. They're not going to do the MRI. They're worried about the radiation. Yes. So it's like, do you take them?
Yeah, and they say don't watch TV. And so you're like, okay. And so, right? And so we sat down. My friend was like, his eyes don't look right. So I was like, all right. It was a Friday night. He was in kindergarten. Then he fell out of the chair. And I scooped him up. We went to the first aid called like someone to come in. They were like, I think he's got a mild concussion. He has pain, like where his helmet is.
From that period of time, that was like within 1 hour, like he kept falling in that 1 hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And so brought him home. I wanted to take him to the hospital. My ex-husband did not. And I give him a lot of credit because I wasn't a very like quick to run to the hospital person at all. But I felt like this was something. But I'm grateful to have had that weekend that we didn't know. And so Monday, I brought him to the pediatrician. She's like, I think he's just got a mild concussion. He was goofy, silly, joking around. She's like, you can send him to school tomorrow. And side note, I had started running and training for my first marathon that I was supposed to run with Susan G. Komen. And so I ran 16 miles that day in January. And he went to school. On the way home, I was waiting for them. I get a phone call from a random number, and it's Owen, who was at that time in fourth grade, who was like, hey, mom, this is the bus driver's phone. Devin's throwing up. So I was like, okay, concussion, throwing up, not good. Call the pediatrician. She's like, go immediately to the emergency room. If you think you can go to Children's, go there. But if you are really nervous, go to Framingham. So I was like, okay, scoop him up. And until that moment, I had never asked anyone for any help with any of my kids. We did everything together. We went everywhere. I took them all to practices. They all went to games. They all supported each other. And we go to the hospital. He's walking in. He's so silly. and they have no room for us. And so they get us into like the triage room, and the doctor's like, look, I have nowhere to put you. I'm just going to send you for an MRI because that's what we would do anyway.
Was this Framingham?
Mm-hmm. So we get in there and we go into the MRI, and I call my very dear friend who also thought his eyes looked weird. And I'm like, can you just come get Brendan? Which I'd never done anything like that in my life. I never asked for help.
I get that.
Once. Yeah. And I just was like something, I just was like, I, and
before you needed to focus.
Yeah. I just had a weird feeling that I asked for help, and I was like, I don't, he can't be here. And the next thing I knew, the doctor came out. Was there's so many other stories, but we were in an ambulance to Children's, where we met with a large team of doctors. They did tests overnight, and then at like 4 o'clock in the morning, they woke us up like frantically after poor Devin had just gone to sleep at one, and they were like, wanted to make sure he was going to wake up. And I'm like, what are you, like, what is happening? And then we were met that morning with a huge team of doctors in a super sterile white room with 12 doctors who told us that he had DIPG, which was diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, which was in not curable, not survivable, not treatable brain tumor. And they said, you will have, he has 8 months to 2 years to live if you're lucky. And
it's hard to hear the story.
It was not really real. And in my head, I just imagine myself on the ground, and I don't feel like I was on the ground. But
were you on the ground?
I don't know.
You just don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And the only thing I do know was I was like, okay, you're telling me 2 years? We have 2 years. 2 years that I can figure this out and I can find someone. And that's what I heard.
You can find someone. Yeah. That was so you.
Yeah.
You were just like,
well, okay. I love that about you.
Yeah. I was like,
went straight to that.
Yes. And then
this, it was incredible to watch.
And I don't even know what I was doing, but my mom had breast cancer for 14 years, and she was supposed to live 2 and then 5. And she had such hope and positive attitude and like, this is what's going to happen. And so that was my thing. And I'll tell you, there was a little radiologist who walked in. This is my
a little radiologist, like a little person.
She's a little person.
A little person.
She was tiny.
Like, you loved her?
I loved her. And she was the head of radiology, and she had this thick accent. And I don't remember what she was telling me about what was going to happen at radiation. And I just looked at her and I was like, can you just tell me, is there any hope? You can tell me everything else. We'll be there on Tuesday morning. We'll whatever. But all I need to know right now, is there hope? And she looked at me and she said, yes. After 12 people in a room just told me.
I love that woman.
No, me too.
There's always hope.
Yeah, there is.
I think there has to be, right?
Yeah. But I needed someone to tell me.
Do you know who that woman is? I like her.
I don't.
She's retired. She's a beautiful person.
Yes. She retired like 7 or 8 months after. And you said earlier, like, you just move forward. And that's me too. Like, I don't remember names. I don't remember things.
No. Yeah, I can't. It's not something, if you understand that, you understand that. But I was saying to Christine in the morning, I was reliving, as I was preparing for this episode, I was reliving that time period of all of our lives. And I forgot a lot because I live in a headspace where the past is the past. I'm living in the present. I'm not focused on the future, just right now.
Yep.
So I have a memory problem sometimes with things like that. So that's what Christine's referencing.
I have a huge memory problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think sometimes it's a problem.
You have to,
I think it's honestly selective focused, especially with having 4 children and a busy life. It's like, you have to focus on what's at hand. Otherwise,
but you never forget.
You're not like present.
That's the thing.
Right.
Like, you keep him alive in the things that you do every day, which I love.
All right. So
but keep going.
So yeah. And I'm sorry for making you cry. I feel
I
knew I was gonna,
to the exact point of before that I just said, I forget the details, honest with you. So to hear them again is hard.
Well, and I think too, once you become a mom or you're 100%. Trying or you see this in your future, it's like it's the unimaginable.
Christine, I think about you more than you even know when I'm looking at my children, because I just know something different about you now than I did at that time. Because I wasn't a mom when you went through this, you know.
Yeah.
When we became friends. I didn't know.
Yep. And you weren't even married, actually.
No, I wasn't married. Yes.
It's crazy. And so, honestly, I think that's why so many people gravitated towards our cause too, because we were out in the community all the time. I had all 4 of them, and we were so relatable. Mm. Maybe not for kids, because people thought I was nuts, but like the fact that we were out in sports and in schools. And
why did people think you were nuts?
Oh my gosh. People used to say in the grocery store all the time, like, I'd have all 4 in the cart and they'd be like, oh, 4 boys, God bless you. And I'd be like,
people, it's just something people say.
I know. I'm like, he dumb. Did. Thank you. I have, at that time, healthy, great children.
Mm-hmm.
And and they were all great. But and then yeah, it just it was like a whirlwind, and we had, I will say, like in those darkest moments, it was like the community, the love that we felt from our people, my kids are still best friends with their people, the people that rallied around us and not only helped us fight to save Devin, but all, or gave us the ability to fight to save Devin, because we had to go to London. We went to Mexico to check out a treatment. There was nothing available here. Yeah. And then made memories. Like,
that's insane that there's nothing available here too, though.
It's come a long way that there are trials that are here.
And working. I saw one.
Well, it's not accurate.
Is it not?
And that's what's so hard, is that boy who's living and is thriving, it's amazing and it's so positive, and it's, but he, because he was diagnosed so long ago, he does not have the most aggressive common mutation of DIPG. That was hard. So many people reached out to me about that.
I would never reach out to you about that. That would be.
Well, that's my hope, is that I want to see.
Well, of course, people. But there's also some pain involved in that. Like when I saw that post that day, I showed it to Aaron and I was like, what is this? And we were both just like, we didn't know what to feel about it. We were just like, what is, who knows?
I mean, if a family doesn't have to go through that, right? Like that's the ultimate goal. But it's so much and thank God for so much awareness now that so many people know what DIPG is.
Very much so, in part to you.
Thank you.
And your family.
And we just tried, and I feel like I didn't know what I was doing, but it was so important to me to keep my kids together and have everyone be a part of everything. And hope was most definitely my driver through that.
So take us through that like time period of like what. So he gets the diagnosis, he gets that radiation, that woman tells you there's hope, then what happens? Like what went on?
So we had a Make-A-Wish trip, which was like incredible. We made, like I said, we made memories. We somehow, you know, Celtics and Patriots and Bruins and all, and Kim Kardashian tweeted it like 2 weeks after Devin was diagnosed. She retweeted.
Didn't know that.
Yes. I didn't even tweet it. It was on Facebook, and she retweeted it, and my phone was like insane.
You were like I said this to Rachel, like a mini celebrity in Framingham to me. I didn't even know you.
A lot of people, like you were dealing with and supported you.
In a wonderful way, because I think you spun it and made it your own. And like knowing that Devin got to do all of those things makes me so happy.
Oh my God. And the rest of my kids, right? Yeah. Like,
and the rest of your kids. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Most people, right? That's your intention when you have a family and, or not even just with your partner, whatever, you want to make memories, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. We made in 8 months and 3 weeks more memories that a lot of people make in a whole lifetime. My kids are like, still, I mean, Colin, we went and met the Pope, and he, after I ran my first marathon, want me to tell you this quick story?
I want to hear every story.
Okay. So I was supposed to run the marathon, like I told you, for Susan G. Komen. My mom had died of breast cancer. And in January, I ran that 16 mile the day Devin was throwing up on the bus, and I didn't run again. Susan G. Komen said, hey, look, you can have the bib. You can do whatever you want with it. You can run next year when Devin's healed, or you can not use it at all, whatever you want. And so one of my good friends who had run the year before was like, do you want to run together? We'll just run half of it. We'll run to Framingham. We'll stop. They made Devin the team captain for Team Framingham. It was Easter Sunday. Monday was the marathon. They delivered shirts to us on Saturday. My friend, the guy who runs Team Framingham was like, look, you're not going to stop in Framingham. The momentum will get you to like Newton Wellesley, which is like mile, I think 13, 14, or 16, 17.
16, yeah.
Yeah, I should know this, but I have no recollection.
I honestly don't know why I even know that. That's super weird.
Literally, why do you know
I
that?
Don't know.
It's because like it's where my dad
because you
took a left turn and got a Starbucks and then came back.
Probably.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
I know. He also is insane.
Mental.
Yes. And so, whatever. We're like, fine, we'll get on the tee at Newton Wellesley and we'll go into the finish line. No big deal. And 2 weeks before, I'd gotten a call from someone, or probably a month before that, that had been training the Pope and his people how to use Instagram and Twitter. And he knew of my faith and reached out and said, hey, listen, if there's a way that I can get you and Devin to Rome to meet the Pope, do you want to go? And I was like, but then I was like, how would I go do that without my other kids? And right now, like, flying all of my kids to Rome is not in the cards. He made that happen. And so he
That's
said,
insane.
He said, yes. He said, I want to fly your whole family there. So,
I love him.
And by
Who
the way,
was that man?
I can't tell you.
Oh, no. I'll tell you but off. It's someone like we know, you're saying.
You know of.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a cool. Someone, yeah.
Love him.
Yes. He's amazing. And so I don't really know him. I know. Yeah. And so he said, oh, but by the way, you're going to leave Monday night, April, whatever Marathon Monday was. So I was like, okay. So I host.
Christine was just like, okay to everything. Fuck yes, it. Yes, we're going to the Pope. Right?
You were.
We're going to run a little marathon. Yes. We're going to go to
I'm
the Pope.
I'm always a yes. I mean, yeah. I'm always a yes.
Yeah,
anyway.
You're a down ass bitch.
I'm always a yes. So, so my brother-in-law, Jay, who's the police officer in Boston, made my tank top with a Sharpie and stencils that said Devin's mom. And yep, with a Sharpie. And my girlfriend said, call me the morning. She's like, hey, you want to go run a marathon today? So I was like, yep. So we get up, we go to Hopkinton on the Framingham bus. It's like a blur.
You're crazy.
It's beautiful, sunshiny day. We're walking. I see this woman with a boy, pictures all over, like safety pin to her singlet. And I was like, are you running for this boy? And she's like, yes, it's my son, Sully, and he has cancer. Yeah. And I was like, what? And so we've become friends since. And I didn't even know that was the only interaction we had. She started following our story and then we met and she actually ran for my marathon team. But as I'm walking to the start, I get a call from the police chief of Boston PD who said, hey, Christine, he's a runner himself. And he said, I just wanted to wish you luck and let you know that Devin is going to be waiting a block from the finish line for you with a line of police officers.
Aww.
And I was like, fuck. Now I'm running the entire marathon.
Right, 100%.
Oh, my God.
If anything ever gets you to the finish line, it's
right?
that.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And I can't get hurt because I'm getting on a flight to Rome tonight. So we ran, and it was, like, magical.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. It was crazy.
I love that.
People, I mean, the sea of green all along the route was, like, the most crazy thing. We met two dads who one lost their kid in Sandy Hook. They were running together, two best friends. That was mile 13 where we originally said we were going to stop running. We met there was a guy who was running who had a black t-shirt on and it said, I am stronger than a brain tumor. So sorry, the two gentlemen for Sandy Hook were at mile 16, 17 where we were going to stop. Mile 13 is this guy that has a shirt that says, I'm stronger than a brain tumor. So I run up to him. I tap him on the shoulder and I was like, I'm going to need your shirt in 12 years. For my son who's going to beat DIPG and he's going to run. And he went, okay, it's amazing. It's yours. Yeah. And then I kept running. And then I grabbed my friend Lorelai and I was like, oh my God, I am the biggest asshole on the planet. I didn't even ask this guy about him. I didn't ask anything. I just only said something about why I needed his shirt that he's running with. And so the next water station, I'm looking all around for him. I can't find him. I keep looking. And then like 2 miles later, I feel a tap on my shoulder and it's this guy. And he's like, how's your son? And I was like, oh my God, I've been looking for you. I was like, I can't believe you are cured. You don't have a brain tumor anymore. And you're now running a marathon and you inspire me. And I want this for my son when he beats DIPG. And he goes, oh no, I still got it. I'm like, you're running this with a brain tumor? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I got this. I can certainly
run. You
can
finish.
I can certainly run this. And then Devin jumped into my arms as you come around.
That photo.
I love that photo.
And that picture to me is something that I look at when I need motivation. I'm like, I just ran 26 miles. Never running a marathon, never running more than 16. And my son, who at that point was on steroids, and so he was a little chunkamunka, and jumped into my arms.
So I remember chunkamunka Devin.
Yes.
That was a
right?
really, really
oh, who said
cute Devin.
Crazy, crazy things because he was on
things.
Steroids. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so he jumped into my arms, and I held him. And then, you know, we ran hand in hand over the finish line, and I wanted him to hold hands with Lorelai because she was running with us, and he refused. And at first I was like, dude, why aren't you? She just ran a marathon. And now I'm like, it was our moment. It was our
agreed
thing.
Yeah. I'm glad he didn't, honestly.
Yeah. No, I know. So, yeah. And then we got on a flight that night. And
you went to the Pope.
We went to the Pope, and Colin, who had just been taking, well, actually before we got to the Pope, this will just make you laugh, we had to go in this building to go meet the director of communication who was bringing us to the Vatican, where we were supposed to meet with him one-on-one. And I was like terrified. I'm like, I'm going to literally faint. Like, how do you meet one-on-one? And we were late, which is part of the course for me always. And so we met him in the audience, which was amazing and way better, but we were coming down the stairs and my legs gave out because I ran a marathon like 24 hours before. And I took Brendan down with me, marble stairs. And then we get outside and we had to go run like three blocks. And Devin's like, can you carry me? So I was like,
Christine,
sure. Yeah.
You were just,
I mean, you're not going to say no.
Just
no.
Numbness, just pure
you're
numbness.
Like a walking, like,
strength.
One of those green things. Literally. Just, yes. Inside the thing. Yes. Like, literally.
Yes. Yes.
What are those called?
At, like, car like dealerships? Car, yeah, yes.
But you're specifically Christine, green.
She's a green one. I'm yes. going to need a visual of that in this particular clip.
Or Gumby. My mom used to say she was Gumby in my pocket, and that was Gumby just stretching.
That's hilarious.
All over. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
So that's, I don't think that answered your question.
No, I think I'm like taking a moment. Honestly.
I'm taking a yes. moment.
So, do you feel like you were mentally well during that time? Like, were you like,
I never good? Thought about it. Yes. I'll tell you only one. Yeah. I mean, yes, I had some times that I like, I mean, I say yes. No, I probably wasn't. Because now when I think back, it's such a tough answer. Like, sorry. I remember driving in my car at one point just screaming. It wasn't like an actual thought that like, okay, I'm going to scream now and let it out. I just was like screaming.
Primal.
Yeah. And then there was a time that Paula came over to do Reiki on me. And I was like, my chest is.
I remember that first time.
Well, yeah,
explode.
But yes, but this was later. And yeah, my chest was going to explode. And she did Reiki and maybe pop something into my mouth. And I was like, it like, calm me, yeah, like an Ativan.
A little
she's
heroin.
Like, yeah. Yeah, just a little. I don't think that. Yeah,
I don't think you put that in your mouth.
No,
I don't know. What is heroin goes in the blood? I don't know. I've never done fucking heroin.
Me neither. No, it's not something I would choose. But yeah, I mean, I think I was so full of hope. Like one of your questions, I don't know if we want to go in order, but
I don't care.
Was like, did you tell your boys? And so we came home from the hospital on Colin's birthday. And I was like, I am not going to let him know or anyone know. Like adults knew, but I wasn't going to let my kids know because I never wanted him to associate his birthday for the rest of his life with this. And I didn't know what I was doing. It just was listening to your
rule book. There's no playbook or rule book.
Right, none. And so, but it was just something that I was like in tune to. So we came home and I will tell you watching, Devin sat on the seat with him and singing happy birthday to Colin with Devin knowing and just being told he wasn't going to see another birthday was literally, I could have gotten an Emmy award for that because it was one of the hardest freaking things I've ever had to do in my life. But, so we didn't tell them for like a week. And we actually, I told you we were in Trader Joe's parking lot. I mean, Trader Joe's all the time. We were in Trader Joe's parking lot when I told them in my car, my
Trader
Suburban.
Trader Joe's got some sentiment to what you guys.
They all came to Devin's funeral.
They
yeah,
did.
Yes.
That funeral.
I love them.
Yes.
I have coming. Trouble driving down that street in Sudbury thinking about.
Oh yeah.
That area for me is just all Devin.
Yeah.
Did Devin knew what that meant? Like you said, he knew.
Yeah,
like,
did he understand the diet? Like what did he understand?
So he was not in the car when we talked to his brothers.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no. But we always just referred to it as the rock that we had to get out of his head. And that's what.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. We told the boys. That's what Devin knew. That's what, I mean. One of them asked in the back of my car. I don't know why we went there to that parking lot. I think it was like a familiar place to them, but not someplace that like their school or I didn't want to do it at home.
You're also just a mom living your life.
Yeah.
Needing milk. You still need milk.
Yeah. We didn't
you
go
still
into
need
Trader Joe's.
Snacks. Well, I'm just saying you're just like living your life. So
and
like
wine.
I would imagine and wine.
They have wine there.
They have a lot of wine there. I would imagine you just needed to do it when it felt right in your soul. I'm sure it wasn't, was it like planned? And
it was.
It was planned to go to the Trader Joe's parking lot.
Yeah, because, okay. So we went for a drive. We went for a drive and I was like, I didn't want to do it at any schools or church or anywhere like that. And then we just pulled in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So it was planned to tell them, but not exactly where.
Scandinavian gummies.
Yeah. And nearby. I was like, I'm going to go in and taste test
and you were
some
with
of the wine.
Your husband at the time.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
He was in the car.
He was there. Yeah. And we did make every decision together throughout that for Devin's diagnosis. Like, because that to me was really important. And so we made every decision, he and I together, and then with the other boys. But yeah, we just said it was a rock. One of them asked if he was going to die. And I was like, no, we're going to fight this thing. We're going to do everything we can to get it out. And we didn't.
Who asked that?
Colin. And, I mean, he was in sixth grade. Right. And so, you know, Brendan was in second. Owen was in fourth. And only those, he was only in the hospital for 3.5 weeks at the end.
Probably the toughest for Colin, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he understood it more.
Yeah. He actually, you know, just finished his freshman year of college and came back and was like, we were just chatting. I think that's, yeah, he's right? Old. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He's so crazy. Handsome.
Good for him.
So handsome.
He is handsome.
Yeah.
I saw.
God. And he's such good boy. He's
such a good boy.
Yeah. And so.
Where does he go?
Providence.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so he said, Mom, I don't know. He goes, this is really awful to say, but I don't know if I had to go through that now in life. And this is what would make me cry. But he's like, I don't know if I had to go through this now in life, if I would be the same. I don't know if I'd be okay. And I'm like, you don't know that because you only know what you were dealt.
Yeah.
Right. And what you went through when you went through. But they're all very insightful.
I really respect his analyzation of that. Like, he seems very in tune.
And that he was open enough to bring that up.
When you go through trauma young like that, though, like, it really changes you. So I understand.
Yeah. But my kids used to make fun of me all the time. Like, oh, Mom, the grass is green. Is it Devin? Mom, like, they'd be like, they would joke. I mean, they're boys. I'm their mom. Like, that's normal.
I love them.
But now that when he went away to college this year, he living in the present, really seeing those signs, really understanding, like, he became much more in tune and much deeper. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I think I love the word presence because I think back to you at that time. I didn't know you very well, but, and we talk about this on the podcast all the time, is be here now, right? Just like soaking in the presence. Mm-hmm. You really were just entirely present during that time.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you had all the memories that you had with so many different experiences with all the kids too.
Oh my God.
And I think it's funny, the reflective nature of looking back at that weekend where you didn't go to the hospital, or that birthday moment that you were unsure. And it's something I say a lot, is like, these are the good times. You know, I like to think about that. And you know, you never know like what's going on, but it's just like to appreciate those good times, even with that floating over your head. I thought you did a really good job of that.
Thank you.
And you did a really good job of still appreciating what was beautiful right then without getting too caught up about what could be future.
Well, I respect your positivity. That is like
convicted positivity.
Literally, though, like, because people would
crumble.
100%. Like, I don't think people would get out of bed. And you knew you had other kids to live for.
I did. And myself, right? Like, you have, I mean, so it's crazy. I have always believed everything happens for a reason. My whole life, that has been my mantra until my mom died. And I was like,
what's the reason for this?
What the fuck is that? Forget that, right? When Devin died, I realized why my mom died.
She's with him.
It's the only way that, I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons why I was okay, is because I knew she was there to meet him and she would love him and have the best times with him. And he was sent from her 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Their like sense of humor, their cackle, their love of green, their everything. And so I just think, you have such a different perspective when you have like trauma. It makes you, or it doesn't even have to be like so
serious,
enormous trauma, right? It's like, but it makes you realize, like, without failure, you don't really know how good success is. Without, you know,
the contrast of it all.
Did you like truly believe he was gonna make it?
Yes.
Like, you were like convicted by that thought.
Yes, because I said, there's no way my mom sent him here to heal me to then take him away.
When was the realization that wasn't in the cards?
Only when we brought him home on life support.
You were like,
truly, until those last breaths, like, I was like, his brain just needs some time to heal. We did a second round of radiation. I was like, but you know, now having time to reflect and to heal and to learn, she sent him here to save me, because, you know, I was in a really bad marriage. I was, you know, you tend to sweat the small stuff if you don't have a view of the bigger picture.
Totally.
And so, you know, and so many other, you know, ways, like, I lover of Second Life. It's not just Joe and I, my boyfriend, joke around, like, we love Second Life. We're so lucky to have found each other and to have the Second Life, but it's not just like that in a relationship. It's when something happens that changes the trajectory, and maybe it's career, maybe it's whatever, but it's whatever that second life that's supposed to be your life.
I get that. Yeah. Cosmic.
Yeah.
That was so beautiful. Everything you just said, that entire excerpt. Thank you. So why not Devin? Mm-hmm. Was what everybody knew. Everybody in the town lit their houses green. They exchanged their light bulbs. Mm-hmm. I think some people still have green light bulbs.
Yep.
Everyone wore green. It was a national, I guess, campaign awareness. I don't know what you want to call it.
It's a national holiday to me.
It's a national holiday at Parlor and in Framingham. And why not Devin, right? Like, that's what everybody said, and that's what Devin said. I was looking back. Was that Devin that came up with why not Devin from that interview? Like, because I thought that was from that news interview when they were like asking him questions.
So then he would say, why not myself? Because from the very beginning was like, someone has to be first. Mm. Why not Devin? Like, okay, you're telling me like someone was first to beat pneumonia. Someone was first to beat leukemia. Someone was first. Mm. And I truly believed in all my being that Devin would be the first. Yeah. And so now too, when I send out, so we send grants out to families, like they can use it for medical treatment. They can use it to pay their bills. They can use it to go on vacation. It's whatever helps alleviate a little bit of that financial stress. I always write, someone has to be first.
I love that.
Yeah. Because at some point
you should make a bracelet into that.
Someone has to be first. I feel like that's not a good bracelet. Why? Who wants to wear that? That's just not nice.
We have Why Not Devin bracelets.
Yeah, why not, those are good. I think Why Not Devin is good.
All right, let's talk about your community a little bit. Like
interests me, actually. I'm very interested in this question.
I'm like an extroverted introvert, like would need my time alone, I think you got like really clobbered in like a good way, mm-hmm. right? But also then like in a way where it's like, you know, we've been through portions of trauma, but when people say shit, like sometimes it's not what you want to hear. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes people overstep in the wrong way, or sometimes it's like the opposite and it's really positive. Yeah. Like, I'm sure community can be both. Like, give us the tea. Like, what's annoying that people say? I want to know that. And like, tell us about like community in general for you.
So our community was like so freaking amazing. Like, yeah, people like, I didn't have to think about food. I didn't have to think about, like, people offered to take my kids to their sporting events, or people offered, like, it was so much, but it was sometimes so much that those few people, they called themselves the A-team, became like almost like a wall for us. Like, because there were some people who I didn't know at all who became like crazy focused, crazy wanting to do stuff that we're like, no, we don't know. And everyone,
what, Christine?
We
don't want to call anyone out.
Everyone tried to do things. And at that time, you're just like so fast forward that it was like, okay. And you know, everyone wants to, like, I feel like everyone wants to be a part of it, and everyone wants to do like something.
Feel important too.
But be helpful and like make a difference, because here, like, no one knows what to do. Like, the first time, I know for a long time that happened in our community.
Yeah.
And so everyone was like, really great. But then what happened is, like, after Devin passed away, I hate when people say they lost someone. I'm like, or when did you lose Devin? I'm like, I didn't freaking lose him. I know where he went. Like,
That phrasing.
That's something that bothers me. Yeah. And it's no one's fault. Some people don't know what to say. And
what would you prefer?
I'm so like blunt, and sometimes it's probably makes people like, I'm like, Devin died.
Yeah. Well, wait, at the beginning of this, I said life altering loss.
Is pass away okay?
Well, it's
of
a loss.
I asked you that.
It's a loss. It is a loss 100%, but I didn't lose him.
Got it. Got
right?
it.
So
Got
when
it.
People are like, you know.
Like you had those moments, you remember him, you keep him alive in things. I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's
not missing at a water park.
Right. Yeah. So exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I didn't lose him. He's like,
maybe he's at a water park today.
Maybe he probably is.
Yeah. Likely.
Yeah. 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 Likely. So afterwards I felt like I had to keep up with everyone who gave. And it became, yeah. And then,
I'm so sorry.
And that, well, I had to learn. Everyone's so good, but I had to learn, like, my time is also, and my kids really needed me. And then I was going through a horrible divorce. And so I had to really kind of take a step back. And I also had to learn, like, people are people are really good. 90% of people are really good. And then there are some people who are like, I had to learn not to care what people thought and said of me because I was so offended. Like, I know. Yeah. People were like,
I'm like,
yeah, like, and I'd be like, unless you've walked in my shoes, like, please don't judge me and what I'm doing. And there were some.
So funny how people turn too. Like, I don't like that.
Some people just did. Like, yeah.
Like, what are you referencing? Like, could you give a light example?
Like, some people said stuff that maybe if I didn't focus on being in the media, that I would have had a better time saving Devin. That was probably the most hurtful thing ever. And I'm like, I didn't ask.
I never heard that.
Or that's, reach out to anyone.
That's sick.
Yeah. It was sick. Like the most heart gut-wrenching thing that someone could say to me. Like, I did everything to save my child, but also we raised awareness because now I've had people who like have had their own child reach out to me and who've heard of DIPG or like know of someone. But yeah, that was like a awful thing.
Okay, but also maybe you were trying to enjoy for like 2 years when someone gives you like a date, your child's not going to be here anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
like, you know what I mean?
I think it's just people are just don't understand and then they make comments and that comment is really hurtful and it's not anyone's place to make a comment like that at all.
You didn't ask for this.
Right. I didn't ask for this.
You asked to meet the Pope.
If you could not be in the media, I think you would have preferred to not be in the media. You would have preferred to be in your little, you would have preferred to be at the baseball field, Trader Joe's, picking up Scandinavian gummies, drinking your wine, going to sleep, and having nothing to do with Channel 5 News.
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine that would have been the choice.
The only thing I would add would be to be divorced, but yes.
And not, yeah, the divorce. Well, yeah, that's a whole other. I love the little side divorce. I love the divorce sprinkle.
Yes, yes. So, and the other comment I'll just say, just so if anyone hears this, is listening, and has something similar, people would say to those closest to me when they heard the story, like if they didn't follow the story and know that I had other children, does she have other children? And my very, very best friend, Jen, used to get so offended. She's like, my comment always wanted to be like, which one of your kids would you give up? Because it was that offensive. Like,
oh. I don't follow exactly.
Oh, I think they're saying like, she'll be fine because she has three more.
Does she have other kids? Great. She'll be okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I don't think people think through that. I think it was just like a thing. And I think some people meant like, okay, she can focus on them. But some people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to acknowledge that. That doesn't even, I can't, yeah. I'm not. What about like when people would say to you, like, you're so strong? That's something we've talked about in the past. Like when you're going through a time when you need mental resilience, like you don't really have a choice.
You don't have a choice. Yeah.
So like, it's just sort of like, it's like, not, I'm not saying be sensitive. I'm just saying like in general, like if you're just like, yeah, cool. I'm not actually that strong. I'm just fucking living.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think honestly, because it was such a whirlwind, like, Devin's diagnosis came out of nowhere. And then I went through a crazy divorce. And then, any compliments, I was like, thank you. Thank you. Like that affirmation or that like.
Kept you going.
Was great. Yeah. Because I was like, what is happening in my life? Like what is, but it was just like, I never really stopped to think about it. And if I did, it was that crap. I got to keep going. But no one knows how strong they are until they have to be.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Until you test your strength.
Yeah.
There's so many ways you could deal with it. I feel like you dealt with it the best you could.
Yeah.
The best you knew how.
What did you learn from this entire experience? Like, about yourself, about your kids, about life. Loss. Like, I know, I'm not saying you lost him. I'm just saying you lost.
No, that is loss.
Yeah, I think it is still
I'm, like,
lost.
Scared to say
I know.
It.
No.
I don't want to be offensive. No. I just want to understand.
I like to know.
What did you learn?
Oh, my God. We could be here for the next 5 hours.
Let's do it. I want to hear the lessons.
But I did so much work after. Honestly, even, like, listening to Oprah's Super Soul. Like, I would listen to that in my car and certain things, like, right after Devin died, there was an episode with a family and she had a daughter and two boys and one of the boys died like a month after he was born. Mm-hmm. And this therapist was talking to them and he was like, now the surviving twin was like 5 and the daughter was like 8 or even maybe a little bit older. And she could not get past what her son who died wasn't getting to do. And the therapist was like, look, you have a twin, you have a son here and you have a daughter and they are going to have all these milestones and they can never compare or measure up to your son that you lost. And so if you continue to do this, everything that they do won't really matter. And it was such a revelation to me to never like, oh, Devin should be graduating. Devin should be going on a date. Devin should be getting his license. Devin should be. So like I treat everything that each of my kids has as their own, as their own milestone, their own exciting thing, their own everything, without trying to take away and measure Devin up to what could have been.
It's very interesting.
So I think that is one thing.
And that's hard.
Yeah, it is. But once you like hearing that real life with another family and what it was doing to that family was so meaningful to me and was stuck with me. I don't remember a lot, but those things I remember. And then I think that just like my glass is always, like your mom says too, I was like, your mom's my spirit animal, half full. I've always been like that my whole life, but there is always like, I remember New Year's Eve going into 2018 and everyone's like, are you so happy 2017 is over? And I remember thinking, I had the worst heartbreak ever in 2017. It was my worst heartbreak of my life. But the memories that we had and the love that we received from everyone and the bonds that my kids and I had together, like I would
forever.
Yeah, I would.
There was beauty. They're
priceless.
So much beauty.
You find beauty everywhere.
Yes.
You can find beauty everywhere. You can choose happiness every day. It's,
yeah,
you can.
And it doesn't mean what happened to you doesn't fucking suck.
Right.
Like it
100%.
Sucks.
Yeah.
But you did find beauty in it somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Well,
you're an inspiration.
In it all. Thank
you. You're welcome.
This was a tough question, I think, to write, but does like happiness ever make you have guilt?
No, but I did feel like sometimes in the beginning, like if I was something great happened and I would feel like I had to like downplay it to someone else.
What do you mean?
Like not my closest people, but like if there was something great, can't even think of an example, but even like just going out and having a great time. And someone asked, I'd be like, well, like the January after Devin passed away, my three best friends, like including my sister, my stepsister from childhood, my three from college, my three from adulthood took me to Aruba. And
that's awesome.
It was the best trip ever. And also like the weirdest. So because it was like, you know, just a couple months after I was separated and it was like, we were going on this amazing girls trip, having the best time. And like at points, I think we all found ourselves like stepping back, like, is this real life? Like what is happening? And so I definitely cried a little bit. And I feel like when I came back from that, I also felt like I had to like downplay it a little bit because not really for myself, but like my kids. And then
you're like, it wasn't that fun.
Yeah.
Or you shouldn't be having fun right now.
I respect
like fun's
you.
Not like, allowed.
As you should. You should.
So I don't think that way now. I feel like, you know, even through everything, I feel like everyone has their own journey. Everyone has their own things they have to learn. Everyone's got, so, you know, and even like with Devin, like I think Devin's purpose here was so much bigger than like for me. I think he was sent to me to save me. But Devin, you know, you have feelings of Devin and his dad, his brothers, his best friends, his, like he, people, I know one of your questions was medium and I've worked with a couple of mediums and spiritual healers and things like that. And one of the spiritual healers used to tell me that like Devin used to come to people I didn't know. And at first I was like, okay, like, come on. Like, are you kidding? Like, that was just my initial like phases of grief, I guess, which I don't even know what those actually are. But then the more I like step back and thought about it, I'm like, Devin does and gives so much to different people. Like he had so many different purposes here. And the more you can like be open to that, it's like, it's so beautiful. It's like an amazing thing how many people's lives he's touched that, and he was here for 6 years.
Did the mediums ever tell you anything of like him coming to you or anything like that?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And not knowing anything. And I've seen him twice.
Really?
Yeah. So he, like a week after he died, I was in my kitchen and I shut the door and the refrigerator like light on the outside was out and something whizzed by me. Like this light just whizzed by me. People probably listening are gonna think I'm nuts, but
No, I believe that.
But it's really true, yes. And then one time, like maybe a year later, I was getting divorced. It was one of the first time my kids were at their dad's, and I was by myself in our house, and I was just laying in bed and like relaxing, and I could feel him so strongly, and then I could hear feet down it's my hallway.
100%.
Yeah, it was.
He's also a bee.
He's a bee.
I remember at the funeral.
They were everywhere.
They were sitting in the parking lot. There were bees everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we were like, he's a bee.
Do you remember? We went out to my car, you two and your mom and me, and you were like putting makeup on me. And we were like, what? Like the bees were everywhere. They stung his friends. But he was my only child out of four to get stung. And he got stung a freaking lot.
That's very odd. I forgot about that correlation.
Yes.
So your mom's a dragonfly.
And Devin's a bee. He got stung 6 times. In our front yard.
What?
Yes.
Christine? Mm-hmm. Yeah, these correlations are very odd. Mm-hmm. Not odd, it's synchronistic. There's no coincidence, I'll use that word, synchronistic.
Yeah.
I want to just go back to something you said about like Devin touched a lot of people, but I also like Devin was a part of the journey for me when I was at that point in your life, but it was more about you, to be honest with you. Like I didn't know Devin, I didn't have a connection with him. I was very sad for the story and for him and all of that, but you were a beacon of light. And I found watching you to be just interesting. You were truly convicted in your belief, and you were positive, and you were radiant, and you were an amazing mother to your other children that needed you. And you were never broken down and crying on the floor.
You also were like, well, sometimes I bet you were.
Yeah. And when you found me, I was a shell.
I know.
Right.
I remember that day very clearly.
I met you. Like, we didn't even talk about what was happening in your life. Like, you were like asking me questions, asking Rachel questions, meeting my mom. Like, you're
just always lovely.
Yeah, you are lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely.
But I also feel like you talked about community, but I also feel like, you know, like you, what you guys have done for me and making me come in for a blowout once a week.
She would make me text you and say, get her in.
Okay, but I didn't know that your mom did this when she was going through everything too. Like, I listened to her talk about this and like with tears in my eyes, goosebumps all over me, like how full.
About my dad?
No.
Oh, she's talking about when dad was in jail and mom continued to get blowouts and
because she took care of herself. Like, yeah. And then fast forward, you guys did that for me. And then Nina came in and did a blowout in the hospital.
I know you remember that day. We all talk about that.
Oh my God. Yeah. For the rest of my life, you have no idea what that did for me.
She's
that day.
She's sweet for doing that.
And she was terrified going in there.
She was.
I hadn't even met her before. And she had some things with hospitals that she was like anxious and going in. And, you know, Devin was in the hospital for 3.5 weeks and I left 3 times. One was to walk down to the Target because I needed like
the Target.
Yeah.
Underwear.
Yep. And exactly. And then the other two were like coffee breaks, but I did not leave and I barely showered. And I think when Nina did my hair in the sink in that hospital room, I probably hadn't showered in like 4 days. I probably did, but I had gorgeous hair.
Yeah. That's all that mattered.
It was like such a game changer.
I think it's part of, Carly and I prepped for this, like there's no amount of self care that can take away what you were going through to diminish how serious it was. But to look good, to feel good allows you to take on more in a more graceful manner.
Yes.
I think that's just a fact of life.
Yes.
Or maybe smile for 5 seconds.
Yeah, just a little bit of happiness. We were, I think, meant to be in your life at that phase. That's why I'm saying for you and to support you.
Yeah.
Like we were meant to be a part of your life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Devin was a lesson too for me to watch his strength, but you were the strength. Thank you. Behind Devin. And it deserves the credit, honestly. Like you were just... You were grace and are grace, truthfully.
You know what's so funny about that story, about the word grace, is that my mom was born on a Tuesday, and so are my brothers. And my mom used to always say, Tuesday's child is full of grace. I don't know if you guys have heard this before. And you both know me. I am the least graceful person, like physically.
I think you're graceful.
Well, physically, I am a klutz. I am like, I went up to 2 different floors here, like I'm a spaz. But now... grace means something very different to me.
Yeah.
But I used to laugh hysterically because I am not graceful.
So can we go back to the medium for a second? Like, tell us more about different moments. I'm and also
very interesting.
But also we had a weird moment with the Oreo cookie dog. Wasn't that a medium? Was that the same medium?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I brought my like 5 day old puppy Harry in a Whole Foods 5 day old.
You thought he was like 10 weeks.
He was literally 5 days old, and he turned.
She brought him to my hotel room and with fleas in San Diego. So yeah,
I put him and worms. I in put the him hospital. In a Whole Foods bag and met Christine at Children's Hospital. Snuck my dog into the hospital to make her happy, but then one of the mediums had I thought said something to you about yes. the Oreo cookie dog.
Yes. Oh my God, you're so right. Yes. So. I've seen a couple, and this woman, so, and all the connections, this is something else I want to, like, you've brought other connections into my life, but I went to go meet this medium, Jess Leap and I went.
Love Jess Leap.
Right? And you also, we met for the first time in your chairs.
Yeah, I remember I was like, oh, you two, turn to each other now.
Yes, and she's, like, people think we've been friends our whole lives. I feel like we have. But she and I went to go see this medium that a friend of ours set up. The woman had no idea who we were. She didn't tell them our names. She didn't say anything. We met at a friend's house, and we sat down. And the woman, she's an empath, Emily Fitch, and she, like had this overwhelm of, like emotion. And she talked with Jess a while and said, like, knew everything about Jess. And then, yes, talked about, she said, oh, I have a pain in the back of my head. She's like, I'm feeling this pain, and I see, like, an army. And Devin's army. And then she like, she said all these like things. And yes, she said, I forget, I have it written down somewhere.
You called me and you were like freaking out.
Yeah. Because she talked about the Oreo cookie dog coming into the hospital and like what it meant. And then, yeah, she also talked about my ring. She said, your mom keeps telling me that there's a ring that you have of hers that she wants you to wear. And now I have her like diamonds. I have her, like I have all of her stuff. And I was like, all right, I don't really know. And,
it's green.
So when I was a buyer for Bloomingdale's in my first life, and I got my mom a mother's ring, and I had it made for her, and my brothers and I are all pink. So I was like, well, that's kind of boring. So I didn't want to get an all pink. We're all June, but my mom is
every single May. One of you.
Yeah. And so
was born in June.
Yes.
It's really weird. Is there three of you?
Yeah.
What?
And then they both had the same due date.
That's really bizarre.
Oh, yeah. And I'm June 10th. And then my next brother, Dave, is June 20th, 3 years later. And then the next brother is June 30th, 3 years after him. And they were both due on my parents' wedding anniversary. But so my mom's mom is also born in June. And my mom's May. So I was like, well, I'm going to do the emerald for her. And I'm going to do my mom, my grandmother, my mom, and me. So, and my brother. So I made that for her. And then it's green in the middle and pink on the outside. You can't, I mean... I'm sure I didn't spend.
It weirdly looks all green to me. I don't
really?
Know why. I don't
because
know.
Because the other ones are like dirty, and I'm sure I've tried to have them cleaned, and you know, I got it from Bloomingdale's, but I'm sure it wasn't. Yeah. Like, you know,
so now you don't take it off.
So I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then like 6 months later, I was like, I came across it and I was like, oh my God, I love this ring and I'm wearing it. And then she came to meet with Jen and I in my house, and she was like, that's the ring. That's the ring that your mother was telling me about. That's, and I didn't never said like, this was my, I didn't say anything about it. She was like, wow. And then, so with Devin, she told me a lot of stuff about Devin, but what she told me was that she was in my house. She was in that back room where you first found me, where Devin passed away. But it's my office now, and it has like a day bed in it. And she was sitting in there at the table, and she was saying, talking about all these things. And then she's like, did Devin pass away over in that corner? And I was like, yeah, he did. And she was like, I feel him there, but he also peeks behind doors to see you. And she just was like, he's always, you know, touching your hair. He's always letting you know that he's there, and he's so proud of you. And yeah.
Do you, like, in your faith and your belief, do you believe that there's like an afterlife, that he's like with you right now? Or do you believe that he's someplace else? Like
both.
Okay.
What, has like, he ever been like what do you with visualize? Your mom? In a, like the medium say that they've like
oh yeah
met.
Oh yeah yeah oh, okay, oh no okay. They're together. Yeah, she's told oh, okay. me they're together. My mom was an artist. They paint, they laugh. They both were like super big pranksters and jokesters, and so they played jokes, and they were like, every time the lights or like your phone
dragonfly just came out right to the window.
Really?
Right there.
Okay. Yep. So that's my mom. Yeah,
that's weird. Look that's look
yeah.
And she flew away.
And then you know that a bee is always outside.
It's back. It's back.
Wow. Okay.
That's really crazy.
But there's no coincidence. That's legit her. And that's how I first started seeing dragonflies. So I'll say this real quick.
I was wondering why you were freaking out.
I know.
I almost just fell off the couch.
I know.
Jesus.
So. Dragonfly. Dragonfly.
That's weird.
She's like, all right, you all. You idiots.
Synchronistic. Like, she's like, shut up and get back to your day.
She's like, start laughing. Don't cry and be sad. So she was always such a prankster and a jokester. April Fool's was her most favorite day. And the year before she died, she painted dragonflies on everything. And so when she died, we started seeing dragonflies. They showed up in the craziest places. And then as my kids were born and got older, they would always say, there's Nana Angel, every time they'd see a dragonfly. And dragonflies show up in the craziest places. So then when the bees all were around at the funeral and started stinging everyone, and now they've showed up in crazy places, crazy, we all know it's Devin. It's such a comfort, right?
I've talked to Devin before as a bee.
Yeah.
I tell my kids too about Devin.
Really?
Oh yeah. There was a bee the other day in the Cape, and I said, "That's Devin." And they were like, "Who's Devin?" I went off and told the whole story. I was like, "It's a little boy that I knew, and he's here right now with us, and he's an inspiration." I try to keep his memory alive, his spirit alive. You know, like it's not. I don't look at death as death. You know, he's just not here physically.
Yeah.
But he's with you spiritually. 100%. He's here. I know that. Yeah. No one could tell me differently. I know he's here.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
There's comfort in that.
And that's what I think it's that, like, you guys helping me continue to tell my story. Everyone who tells Devin's story, everyone who, like, is impacted by Devin, or everyone, like, that's what keeps his spirit alive. And that's why, like, everyone's like, how are your kids? And I'm like, my kids are amazing. They're amazing. They are thriving. I mean, they've been until today. Could that change? Of course. And then you reroute and you figure it out, right?
Yeah.
But like everything they've been through, they are amazing. And that is in part because of our community, the support they have, the love they have. And they see like signs of Devin everywhere. And we also talk about him still so much, not in like a
morbid way.
Right. Or not like, where would Devin be now? It just is part of our conversation.
Like Devin would love that.
He's part of your existence. It's not like you don't not. I like that. He shouldn't be a taboo topic. That's like, he should just be part of the conversation. Yeah.
And that happens to people. And
because of pain.
Yes.
But you do self-work. And that's the thing. The self-work allows you to have clarity, which allows you to be able to talk about it and live presently with your children.
And the boys need to move on and like enjoy their life too.
Yeah. So you move forward. And I'm happy
to do it. Life is for the living.
I feel like, you never move on, right?
But
you
forward, take. Forward.
Yeah,
not
you
move on.
Forward. And that's like another big thing that I like. You take everything with you. Everything you learn, the good, the bad, the ugly, like the beautiful, it all goes with you. And that's what creates tomorrow and the next days. And you know,
tell us about your life now.
Oh my God. It's good. I'm like in a really learning. I feel like I learn every day. I grow every day. I feel like the more you talk to people and listen to them, the more connections you figure out. And the more you realize like how connected the world is.
I agree. But that does require to open your ears and your mind.
Yeah. It's like
without staring at your phone.
Yeah.
Like listening to someone. I like that about the podcast. I like that I'm here fully present listening to you.
I love that too.
It's rare.
And I love being able to just have like conversations and meeting people. Like when I first started dating, I was on the dating sites or whatever. And I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to meet people. I wasn't like, this is going to be my next boyfriend. This is going to be, you know, whatever. It was like, all right, I'm going to meet people. It's great. And I have had to kiss a few frogs, and now I've found like my prince, I think. And so
how long have you been dating?
2.5 years.
Nice.
He moved in February. He has 3 kids. Our kids are literally 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, and Devin should be 13. So when I tell you, so his oldest is, he has a daughter who's 18.
That's weird.
Right?
You have a lot of synchronicities like that. There's just like a
weird.
Lot of little things.
Yeah, I know.
It's your mom.
100%. And I just think it's like, I don't know, being in tune, and our kids look like people are, and like, so I have my kids full time now. He has his 16-year-old full time. His 14-year-old is with us half the time. So
they all live in your house?
Mm-hmm.
Christine.
So,
you have enough rooms for that?
Yeah. We redid the basement.
Oh, there's your kids. You said you weren't done.
Right?
Kids.
No,
there
I know.
You go.
And my house is full of boys. Like
there's no girls? No, one girl.
She lives with her mom full time.
Okay.
But so like, I love listening and hearing all the boys, and they're all joking around, and they were like nervous when they were moving in. Like my kids were a little nervous when Joe's kids were moving in. It was seamless for them. They are.
What do you make them for dinner?
Oh, it, a lot.
Like little, a like lot. That many boys who are teenagers?
Yeah, yeah. It's
wow.
It's a lot. It's a lot of food.
I can't even cook for myself.
That's a lot
yeah.
of food.
Yeah, we do BJ's. We're like, I mean, yeah. we go to BJ's Whole Foods.
You no more Trader Joe's.
We know I still go to Trader Joe's. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, 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 of course.
Trader Joe's is great.
And I can buy my wine there.
Grilling is good.
We grill all summer.
Grill because yeah. you can just throw them all on
yeah.
all at once.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the logistics. Like that must be two That's, pans
Is that
of food.
Seven? Seven boys?
Six.
Six.
Yes. I'm like, six. Six That's boys.
Eight and then, people you're cooking for every yeah. night.
And then my kids always have friends over, which I love too. I'd rather them be at our house. I love, like my son came home from college. His friends were all over like immediately. They all know like my house is the house. It's like.
That's awesome.
Comfortable.
This makes me so happy. And what's really crazy, and this is how there's no coincidence and everything, like is connected. So Joe, when we first met, we met on Bumble and,
Bumblebee.
Yeah. And so, we first met and we were talking, he followed my story because there was a girl in his town whose mom I'm friends with who passed away from DIPG 3 years before Devin. So when Devin got sick, Joe followed it on the news. So the night I first met him, he's like, I hope you don't think I'm a scumbag, but I have to tell you this. And I was like, okay, like now I'm afraid. What are you going to tell me? And he's like, I watched you on the news with your son fighting for Devin. And he's like, and all I thought was, she's so beautiful.
And, oh, I love him.
Yeah. And I was like, you thought I'd think you were a scumbag for yeah. that? I'm like, he's like, well, you were fighting for your son. Right, and right. I'm like,
the context.
Oh, I was like, no. I mean, if you thought
you
I
still want to be hot. Yeah. When you're fighting well, for your son.
I was like, if you thought I was beautiful then.
Yeah.
Like,
what now, do look you think at me now.
Right. And we met when I had COVID and he feels like he knew Devin because he watched that. He knew it.
That's
and
an important piece of your life. I'm glad yeah. he feels connected to it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
I love a Joe.
He doesn't. Yeah, I know you do. I
love
know.
A Joe.
See, we got that. Asynchronous.
That's that, really
is
nice.
That really
synchronistic?
Synchronistic. Yeah.
What'd you say? Asynchronous.
Asynchronous. I don't know. I tried.
I'm an asynchronous. All right. Now, honestly, tell me how much green you have in your closet.
Yeah.
I want. That's a good question.
I know. I have a lot, but you know what's crazy is that I'm starting to not wear as much green because I think it like all has to do with like your chakras and like what is like yellow is something that I really gravitated toward. And now I think it's blues because it's like cool and calming and
yeah. Like, so I'm gothic and like the only time I wear color is I have like to order on something Devin Day. Amazon every year I have to order one green sweater.
I love you
for Devin. And I even through my pregnancy stages, like I had a maternity green
and
sweater.
We'll yell at the salon. We're like, it's a specific green.
Yeah.
We like make an announcement. Actually not an olive green.
I love so. You guys. I love you. Remember I came in like right around that and you were like, and you're not in green. It's the only day I've seen you not in green.
Literally.
I know.
Wait, was his favorite color green?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Green Lantern mm-hmm. was a part of it all.
Yeah. Got but my it. Mom's favorite color was green too, which is like just, there's so many similarities, which Paula, like the first time I came in for Reiki at Beauty Parlor mm-hmm. was Paula
in my
was
original
like,
office.
Yes.
That was my first space that, yes. where you got Reiki.
I know. And she was like, the connection between your mom and like St. Therese and my mom is Mary Therese and like all these.
Paula was a really big part of your journey too.
Yeah. Today's her birthday.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know
Happy
that.
Birthday, Paula.
Yeah. She said another you, synchronistic
yeah.
moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love Paula. Paula is a Reiki master and psychic.
Beautiful
Doesn't
soul.
Want people to know she's a psychic, but yeah. she's certainly psychic.
Yeah.
She and told me and Joe would get married and he would be a cop one day.
Yeah,
it happened.
Beautiful.
And you
people.
Were like, yes, I'm making that happen. I am manifesting
please.
That.
I made Joe come get Reiki from him and we weren't dating. It's like the creepiest thing I've ever done, honestly.
Beautiful people in your life and beautiful second life. Like you're just happy and you're here. And you're
yeah.
Tell us about amazing. The Why Not Devin Foundation though. Yeah. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, thank you. So
and how we can support and
well, you guys yeah. are awesome in that you donate to my events. So that's amazing.
Always.
I have yeah, so Why Not Devin? It's that also has been a learning process, honestly. So because we had so much support and because we had so many people who helped us out, that's what I wanted to do for the community of DIPG. So there's one big foundation that funds research and they were always like the one piece we're missing is helping families. So we just helped fund a nurse navigation program through that larger organization that when a family's diagnosed, they can be paired up with this nurse navigation program, something I wish we had. They help them navigate the very uncharted waters of DIPG and what could be a treatment and what could be a trial and should you get a biopsy and not. And so we help fund that. And then through that, I filter most of my grants through there. And so families who are having financial hardship or want to go on a trip or want to honestly do anything, I've given grants from $3,000 to $15,000 grants to families.
And that's, they can awesome.
Literally use it for whatever they want. And
beautiful.
Thank you. It was, you know, tough for a little while because before going through the nurse navigation program, I was meeting all the families and it became so emotionally hard for training. Me. Yeah. That I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like, and so the nurse navigation program has been awesome, but I have Devin's Dash. It's always the first Sunday in November. We partner with another amazing organization that's local, that Jack's Abbey, they are amazing. And then I have my other major fundraiser is the marathon. And so historically I've gotten bibs through the elected officials and I'm hoping to go through the BAA this year.
Amazing.
But, and we partner with Luke and Bourbons and they throw.
He just ran, right?
He ran for me.
He did a good job. We saw him.
Yeah, he ran.
He was killing it.
Yeah. He ran for Why Not Devin. And, we throw a big event there that we raise a lot of money and are able to, you know, support a lot of people. And both of those events are really people who donate. And then I'm going to get back to my DIPG mom retreat weekend. So
I remember.
Yeah. I haven't done it since COVID and it's, you know, where I bring moms. I've done it at my house. I think I'm going to maybe switch it up and do it at a place, like kind of a retreat place and offer like Reiki and
Bali.
Yeah. I mean, that would be amazing, but,
hard to get to.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? But, yeah, it's going to be in a budget.
Yeah.
So, understood. Yeah, you know, I mean, that would be amazing, but,
well, that's awesome. Do you do that full time? Like,
No, I'm a single mama. So I have a full-time job. I work for an IT company. And
customer success.
Yes, merchandise. My brother.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so I work with a lot of universities and K-12 schools and nonprofits.
Cool.
And
she's so busy.
I'm so busy. Yeah. I merchandise for SCAM sometimes. I work at Loon so my kids can ski.
You're everywhere. Yeah. She is the green Gumby on
the side
of the road.
She is.
If a listener feels inclined to donate and be a part of the foundation, can you give the website where they could go to donate?
Super easy. It's the whynotdevinfoundation.org. And we're looking for corporate sponsors for Devin's Dash. We're looking at doing a little bit of like a different tactic. How can we raise more money? So having people fundraise as opposed to just show up and run a 5K. And we're going to have prizes for different increments, kind of like think back to like jump rope-a-thon that you maybe did when you were in elementary school.
No, I never did a jump rope-a-thon.
I didn't
rope-a-thon.
Either. But no.
Please
no,
don't make
I was
me
at
do
the
that.
Bake sale.
Yeah.
Yes. Serving cupcakes and eating them.
Yes.
So Shut up. That's a wonderful cause. And if anybody wants to follow you on social media, what's your handle?
So I'm meant to be me with two E's, or B is with two E's, not me. And Christine Suter on Facebook. I don't Twitter or tweet or X
Suter.
Or whatever that is.
I don't
is.
Either.
Suter.
Christine Suter.
Yep. Well, we love you.
I love you guys.
That was
so
amazing.
Much.
Your
Christine,
story
thank you so
is
much.
Just insane. Like thank so, you. So incredible.
Thank you for sharing it.
You're
thank
a big you. Part of our journey. I'm honored to be a part of your journey in small
oh
ways.
Oh my God. You guys
love you so
help
much.
Me on my journey more than you know. And I just like one other thing, like it's crazy that Aaron and I have had like similar things. Like we had a similar breakup at the same time we had like, and I have been in her chair like when shit is happening.
She loves you.
Oh my God.
So
she's
much
like my like
a person.
I know her and Nina like together, like really truly love you so much.
Oh, I love that. I love everyone that you have here is like the most beautiful, like family.
Thank you.
And that starts with you too. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I love you for everything you do for me. Thank
you. Get your hair done
at
Parlor for the rest of your life.
Yes. Go to Parlor. It's amazing.
No, yeah. That's not what I meant.
No, but I will say that. Yes.
Christine's gonna vouch for us.
I do. What do you mean? I'm gonna vouch for you.
You are presently always vouching.
I presently.
We love you.
Yes,
thank you for being
you
here.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Rock out.